This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3908 for Wednesday, the 26th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled Emacs Package Curation Part 2. It is hosted by DNT and is about 11 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, let's go through every single package installed in my Emacs configuration. File 2 of 3.
All right, this is the follow-up to the last show that I did, in which I just read to you my Emacs configuration. How fun is that? So we are going to continue now with the second file that I have, second out of three. So there's only one more of these, and you're not required to listen to it anyway. So yeah, my name is DNT. The last episode, I don't know what number it was, but I'll put it in the show notes in case you missed it and want to go back. So in that first one, we went through my first configuration file that loads kind of a bunch of what I see as the basics of that fancy Emacs experience. And then it has some logic for loading the other two files. So now I'm going to go through the second file. This file will load on my Linux laptop and on my work laptop, but it will not load on Termux if I open this same configuration. If I open Emacs on Termux with this same configuration, this file will not load. So I have a section about writing. So it's I'm gonna have a bunch of packages here to do with writing. Obviously, I'm not gonna be writing on Termux very much, so that's why I didn't include those in the basics. So first package we have is called Olivetti. It is kind of like a write room mode. It's like a focused writing mode or whatever. It'll narrow your text block a little bit and get rid of some other UI elements here. I add to it what I call typewriter mode, which is based on this other package that's coming next. That other package is called centered cursor mode, and it does like what I would call typewriter scrolling, which is it keeps the cursor in the center of the screen vertically. So as you advance through your document, typing out, typing up a storm, the screen will scroll automatically as if you were, as if this were a typewriter. I've always enjoyed those things for kind of quickly writing out a bunch of stuff, so that's what that is. Centered cursor mode is what the package is called. Then next we have write good mode. So this is, I don't know, it's kind of silly, I guess, but it'll highlight some what it thinks might be errors for you. So it's not super smart or anything. There's no AI or anything going on there. It'll just have like a list of what it calls weasel words, for example, that are words that are just likely to be, used sort of lazily, let's say, words that could be, well replaced by other words that'll maybe be more evocative or that'll just be better. So that's write good mode. It's kind of nice. I like to use it from time to time, and I do think it helps me make some useful edits to what I wrote. Next, we have fly spell correct. So fly spell, fly spell comes with Emacs. It's like a spell checking package that comes with, it's distributed with what you would call vanilla Emacs, which is just the plain Emacs without any configuration or anything. So fly spell comes with it. That's the spell checking. Fly spell correct provides commands for you to quickly correct your errors, your spelling mistakes. And next we have fly spell correct pop-up, which is the same thing, but instead of showing the corrections in the mini buffer, it'll show them in kind of a tooltip in the buffer itself. It's a little bit better. So next we have Power Thesaurus. So Power Thesaurus connects to an API from powerthesaurus.org to get things like synonyms and antonyms and similar words and things like that. There's also a kind of a nice interface for replacing a word with some other synonym. So you can just have the cursor on a word and you say, I want to replace it with a synonym, and it will show you some synonym options. And then you can just quickly pick the one you want and it will replace it. And Power Thesaurus does it like with like some smarts a little bit. Then next we have Sinosaurus. Sinosaurus is the same thing as Power Thesaurus, but it uses WordNet, which is an application you can install in your computer, so it doesn't rely on anybody's service on the internet. It is not as sophisticated in the replacing as Power Thesaurus, but it's just fine. I could very well get rid of Power Thesaurus. I probably will at some point, I guess. Next, we have WordNut. So WordNut is to get word definitions and things from this application that's called WordNet. So WordNet, I guess, is the database, and then maybe WordNut is the Linux application for consulting it, maybe? Something like that. It's pretty handy. You can have the cursor over a word and run a command to see like a dictionary definition of it. It's pretty good. Next we have unfill. So you might be familiar with the idea of filling a paragraph. That's taking a paragraph of text that's flowing forever to the right if you're writing in left to right script. And then you want to break it up into lines up to a certain length. That's called to fill a paragraph. So unfill provides a command that's called unfill toggle that will fill and unfill paragraphs with the same command. Sometimes it is useful to do that, especially when you're typing in some kind of a markup that where it's nice to have the paragraphs filled, to have them broken up into lines of up to a certain width, but you need to paste it in somewhere that doesn't like that. It's kind of nice to be able to quickly unfill the paragraph and then copy it. Next, we have markdown mode. That is that horrible, horrible markup language that everybody hates, but nobody can get away from. So I had to add that thing to my Emacs configuration. That's all I have to say about that. Next, I have some coding related stuff now. So we start with fly check, which is syntax checking. It'll show me where I messed up and why. And fly check pop-up tip, it'll show me where I messed up in a little pop-up in the buffer instead of in the mode line or the echo area or mini buffer or whatever it is. So yeah, that's pretty nice. It's definitely handy to have that fly check stuff working with you. And then next I have like some HTML and things about mainly for my website that's in Jekyll. I have emit mode. That's kind of like an HTML mode. Then SAS mode for the style sheets, web mode is, I guess also HTML. I don't remember exactly what emit mode does. Oh yeah, emit mode is this cool thing where you can type in an HTML document, you can type like CSS rules, and then it expands them into the HTML. And yeah, it's pretty clever the way it does that. It's kind of ridiculous, but anyway. Next we have Python, that scripting language, you know. It's just to have a Python major mode for editing Python files, Python scripts. And next we have HL-to-do. So that's a pretty nice one. You can be editing like a Python file, and then you can have those keywords like fix me, to do, whatever. And you can quickly navigate through it, through all those keywords that appear in your file. So yeah, it's cool to see it and be able to quickly go through these notes you left for yourself in your file, whatever type of file it is. Then next we have, well, I don't know how to say this one. Is it Magit or Magit or I don't know, Magit, I'm gonna say. So that's Git for Emacs. I mean, it's, to me, it's the best way to use Git. It is really, really good. So yeah, my Git. There is even like, there's a cool other package that I don't use, but it'll show, I think it's called my Git to-dos. It'll show in your my Git buffer. It'll show right where it shows like the commit log or whatever it is. It'll show all the to-do keywords that appear in your files. You know, that's pretty cool. Next, I have Git Time Machine. This one's really nice too. You open a file that's under Git, and you can really quickly navigate through the different revisions of it. Combine that with my Git Blame to show you who made the change. And you got a pretty useful tool there. So that's the end of init base. So we finish it off with provide init base to tell GTS that this is what we're calling all this stuff here that this file is doing. So it's as if this were a package, an Emacs package that I'm calling init base. Okay. All right, let's move on to the last file.
Been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.